I don't have to judge anybody to know that sin, what's going to happen with that. But that also makes me inexcusable, because I know the judgment of God. In this case, God is saying, Jesus is saying, that God is gracious towards his elect, and he will answer their prayers. So, if we can get those kind of results with unjust men, how much more shall we get if we persist with God? If we diligently seek him? You know, using all diligence to make our calling and election sure. I want my calling and election to be sure. So I'm going to pray God that all the promises he promised concerning the election could be fulfilled in me. And when I see those promises fulfilled, when I'm doing all those things that Peter talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1, when I'm adding to faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, etc., when I see all those things built up in me, I get a lot of confidence knowing that God has done this. And knowing that my calling and election is sure, because if I'm doing all these things, you never fail. Never fail. Now here comes another parable that leads right in from that. And this is one people have thrown at me. Not this parable, but this idea. But it comes from a misunderstanding, I think, of what righteousness really is. Verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The thing that people always say to me is, well, Paul, if you ever really became righteous, you'd be a sinner because you'd have pride. And the presumption is that because it would be your own righteousness, you would be trusting it. And my reply is, if I was righteous, I wouldn't have pride, for one, because pride is unrighteousness. And that's the thing about this guy in this parable, the Pharisee, he trusts in himself that he's righteous. But it doesn't say he actually is righteous. See, he needs repentance. It goes back to the thing I say always about Jesus' ministry, is that the Pharisees were not forgiven of their sins. It's not that they were righteous and Christ doesn't like righteous people. We have to be righteous. Christ was righteous, so he does not despise righteousness. What he despises is hypocrisy. And those who don't need salvation. And those who don't recognize that they need God to be gracious to them. And in fact, that no matter how good a guy is, no matter how much you bestow your goods to the poor, you do all these works, God is not impressed. He is not indebted to you. All you're doing is what is required of man, what man ought to do. It doesn't make God your debtor. Now, God looks at things like that. You know, he's very gracious to people who do things like that. I really believe that he looks at them with a kind eye, people who are kind to others. He definitely does. But it's not out of debt. Don't misunderstand. It's not that he owes them that for, whoa, thanks for doing my work for me. No, it's still out of his mercy. Because God does not owe man, any amount of debt. No matter what man does, what will you give for your life? Like as Jesus said, what would you give for your soul? You have your soul right now as you live. What would you give in exchange for it? You know, to have what you have now. What of your living could you give to get the life you now have? Now, some people despise their lives and so on and so forth only because they love their lives. You understand what I mean when I say that? Because even people that are suicidal, the reason they're suicidal is they do love their life, but they hate their situation. And they're so passionate, you know, because a dispassionate person would just be like, oh, well. You know, but a person who's so passionate about their life does it in because they can't stand the way the moment is. You know, these are acts of great passion, of incredible amounts of feeling. So I don't see people as really hating themselves. You can say you hate yourself,
But what it is you hate what you're doing, you hate what you've become, but the only reason you hate it so much is because you love yourself. Because if you didn't love yourself, you'd just be like people who are unashamedly terrible people. Whatever way you want to judge that terribleness, you know. Just bad attitudes, selfish. A lot of things sometimes people see in themselves that they despise, others don't even care. And they have the same things going on. And I see it as a lack of regard for themselves. As opposed to others who regard themselves so much that their flaws drive them to do themselves in. But I don't want to get off the topic any more than that. Look at it. It's just like I was saying. They trust in themselves that they're righteous. Meaning, I don't need any external help. I don't need God to make me righteous. I don't need God to turn me from my sins. I don't need to repent of my sins. I don't need to come to God with humility. See, when I obtain the righteousness of God, I'm going to know where it comes from. It's going to come from God and through His Spirit. And I'm going to have it at all times by His mercy. By Him being merciful to me, I'm going to obtain these things. Not because I have some special virtue in me. If it was going to be up to my special virtue, it's never going to happen. But it's by God having mercy on me, a sinner. It's the result of the prayer. It's the result of the seeking. And this is certainly the message of the New Testament. You know, God's going to write His laws into our hearts. We're going to have a change of heart. We're going to put off the old nature, put on the new nature, cast off the old sins, put on righteousness. You know, these are the messages of hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should certainly lay hold on that. You know, the misinterpretation of this portion of Scripture has done so much damage to people because they despise good. Or those that are good. It's not about despising those that are good through the mercy of God, but of those who despise others, trusting in themselves and their own goodness. I see this among people all the time. People who are not Christian, right? But they despise Christians. Because Christians are hypocrites, they say it. But then they don't really see their own version of hypocrisy. You know, I hate when people try to force the religion on others as they try to force their religion on others. Whatever it happens to be they're into. The religion of their music, the religion of their favorite kind of video games or movies or whatever. You know, they're always trying to force their religion on you, their viewpoint, their point of view. They want to make converts to their point of view. You know, and you see it in them, and they despise others who have different opinions. And they think that's the way Christians are. And hey, many people who call themselves Christians are that way. But that's not the Christian way. You know, but the thing is, they know so little of Christianity that they don't know that part of the true understanding of the Scriptures is to know that the Scriptures have this effect on the wicked.